The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Mark Ingram is the athletic director for your UAB Blazers. We do the UAB Blazers director's chair every single week right here on our podcast network. More importantly, you can hear the show on the TKR app, which of course is heard by well over 100,000 folks every single week. We play it at least five times. Check out the TKR app. And again, wherever you get your podcast, you can go back and listen to all of our wonderful episodes. And he joins us now en route back to Birmingham, Alabama. Mark, first of all, how you doing, brother? Everything good?
I'm excellent, Tony. Good morning. How you doing?
It's great to have you on. Lots to get into tonight when we're recording this show here. It's February 23rd. Tonight, UAB hoops their last final home game against Rice tonight. More importantly, it's senior night. We'll be down there later on this evening for the 6:30 tip. Talk about how, and I know that you're going to be all over this game later on tonight, but just talk about senior night in general and just how special it is for those outgoing seniors for the UAB Blazer basketball community.
Well, first of all, I hate it. Senior night is my least favorite game of the year for every sport. I despise it. I can't stand it. And I mean that. I can't stand it because for these guys tonight who won a championship last year, they've been so good to our program. I hate to see them go. They're great kids, and I hate to see them leave.
Yeah, and there you go.
It's a wonderful group, but I'm glad that our fans will get a chance to celebrate them the right way. They're a terrific group of guys that really flipped the program. With Coach Kennedy, they in very short order got us back to championship form and obviously won it last year and still have a shot at doing it again this year. We've had kind of a lull there, kind of in the middle of the season when Jordan Walker was hurt. But he's back, and we're back to playing a lot better. And we still make some mistakes, as you know, but playing a little bit better basketball, more like we're capable of, and have a great shot at winning the tournament again.
You know, I played high school hoops just my senior year, and I was a bench player. They stuck me just because I was a freak. I was 6'4" when I was like 12 years old. And I knew that I was never going to play basketball, and I really didn't want to play basketball again after I get out of high school. Some of these kids who didn't have a lot of playing time, and certainly less than 1% of all college kids are going to go to the next level. This will be the last opportunity for them to ever play organized basketball at this type of level. Can you talk about what that means to some of these kids to know that, hey, listen, I mean, they got their scholarships, they got their UAB decorum now to go off into life and do something special, but something we knew them for, and that's their basketball.
Well, the sooner that they can figure – yeah, sorry, I'm sorry, Tony.
No, go ahead.
The sooner they can figure that out, you know, the sooner they figure that out in college, the more successful they are in college.
Yeah.
Like, you have to immediately recognize as a college player, okay, think back to high school, how fast the 4 years of high school went. And when you had your last game in high school or your last season in high school, how did that feel? And you felt like you wanted to give everything you had for that season. Well, if you can get the freshmen and sophomores to play like they're kind of like they only have one season left, then you get everybody, you know, giving maximum effort towards the goal of winning a championship. And so, yeah, these are those moments this senior season when they all start realizing, wow, this is going away. And they all are going to, you know, make an effort to go play at the next level. But to your point, they can't. Now, Europe has provided opportunities, you know, for more people to play beyond college, but even still, not everybody gets to do that, you know. And so having those opportunities is wonderful. Some people don't want that, but there is a realization that starts to hit you. Boy, it's been pretty good here.
Yeah.
You know, there's a nice blanket wrapped around me to protect me. You know, my coaches, the administration around me, the academic people, the trainers. There's a lot of people who are here to take care of me, and you start to realize, okay, I'm a grown up now. Yeah. I gotta go get a job. And if that job is playing basketball, terrific. If not, I gotta get a job. And so, yeah, you know, it's the same thing we all had. The same thing hits them, it hits all of us, is, oh man, it's on me now, you know. And so I think most people, when they get to this point, they are they finally realize what we as adults realize, that it's a very special opportunity that they've had. But you know, not everybody leaves. Not everybody gets to be a starter. Not everybody's all conference or all American. So not everybody has the best experience because they don't play as much as, you know, when you sign your scholarship, you assume you're going to start, but not everybody gets to do that. So, but I think most everybody, regardless of playing time, gets to a point where they realize this is a pretty cool thing I got to do.
Follow Mark Ingram on Twitter at UAB_AD. This is the UAB Director's Chair, a show we do every single week, a podcast as well. You can listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. We're available in every major industry, so check out the great show. AAC inaugural schedule came out a couple days ago. Super excited about that. Home game is North Carolina A&T, Louisiana USF, Memphis, Florida Atlantic, and Temple. And then, of course, the away games, North Texas Navy, UTSA, Tulane at Georgia, and Georgia Southern. And what I love about this, you got three games, of course, against A&T and Navy and Temple that are going to be first-time meetings. Talk about what games kind of stuck out to you.
Well, the schedule is good and bad. The bad about it is you know, you're going to play on the road against the defending national champion, Georgia. Yes. You're going to play on the road against the defending American Conference and Cotton Bowl champion, Tulane. And you're going to play on the road against the two-time defending Conference USA champion, San Antonio. So that's the hard part about it. Oh, and you're at Navy on Veterans Day. you know, so that they'll be getting up for that one. So that makes it tough. However, what's good about the schedule, it has a nice balance of home away. We go to Georgia and then we go to Tulane, excuse me. So we go to Athens, then go to New Orleans back to back. That's hard. But other than that, it's well balanced home away, which is really nice. And the open date is, seems like it's the 8th week, something like that.
Yep.
So that's good. You know, somebody's got to have, week 2 or 3 is their open date. That's hard. You get week 2 or 3 as your open date, then you got to, you know, play 9 straight games. That's a tough deal, but somebody's got to get that, you know.
Now, and you got that bye tucked right between those two home games too, which would be a nice little three week break for you guys.
Yeah. So we're mostly excited about it. We appreciate the challenge. You know, I don't know who the goofball is that signed up Georgia, but that would be me. But so if they're, you know, we've got a great opportunity the first 4 games before we get into to conference play, and I'm excited about it. You said, you know, first time meetings with a couple of these schools, which is fun.
Yeah, you ain't scared, man. You ain't scared.
We're going to play to win.
You just said the word opportunity. The fact you're playing Navy on Veterans Day is one of the coolest things I've ever heard. And, of course, playing at Georgia, where they've got you 3-0 so far, who knows what kind of game that's going to be.
My oldest child is next year he will be a senior at the Naval Academy.
Yep.
So that'll be really special for me personally and our family. That'll be a lot of fun. And to go up there for that game, and their games have a lot of pageantry around them anyway. And yep. So I'm excited personally to see how, you know, what else do they do around the Veterans Day games. I think that'll be really special.
For all the details, check out UABSports.com, UABSports.com. You get tickets and find out everything going on with the baseball team, basketball, football, everything else. Trent Dilfer getting ready for the AAC schedule next year, and we just gave you the schedule. You can check it out there in person at UABSports.com. He's Mark Ingram. He's the athletic director for the UAB Blazers. This is the UAB Director's Chair. We do it every single week, and find us on our podcast, Tony Curry Radio Podcast, right here on TKR. All right, so... you cannot turn the TV on and not see a story about Brandon Miller this morning. Of course, when we record this show, he went off last night for 41 points, the most points by a freshman in D1 basketball this year. 41 also set a program record for a freshman. He's obviously a very special talent. Now he's in some special trouble by having a gun that was used in a murder down the strip against a 23-year-old mother of a 5-year-old. I know you know the story. And a lot of people are saying, you know, should he have sat last night? He's not being charged with anything. Tuscaloosa Police Department saying there's nothing they really can charge him with because he was unaware of the fact that the gun was going to be used in that sense. I would say that, obviously, and you and I spoke at length before we started the show, 20-year-olds do dumb things. They're not mature enough. It was a poor judgment call. I would question the fact that why in the world would you have another person's loaded pistol in the backseat of your car? But neither here nor there. I don't want to specifically get into that. You're an athletic director. I would love it if you give me a story, not particularly, you know, maybe a gun story or a murder story, or hopefully not. But a story about how you've dealt with discipline with your players, your thoughts on sitting players until you get more information in a particular case. And then really, what is the chain of command? Where do you lie as an athletic director of university when you have a player that's in some serious trouble?
Yeah, well, let me start by being very clear. I don't want to speak about that situation in Tuscaloosa because I don't know any more about it than what's been reported in the news. And so I'm sure a lot of details that, you know, for the reasons of the investigation are private to some degree. And Greg Byrne is a longtime friend of mine, their athletic director. And so I've got a lot of respect for him and their program. So I'll just say, like, generally speaking, not to speak to that situation, but generally speaking, you know, you report up to your president and then to your if you're part of a system, then you have, which we are, you also report up through the system that, you know, that chancellor in our case, and a board of trustees. Some universities that don't have a system, you know, they would have a president, but they still have a board. So you report as the athletic director to a lot of people. And things that are serious like that, you know, this type of serious, there's a lot of people that weigh in on what the right thing to do is. But it is interesting, if I go back, and it's a long time ago, you know, 30 years ago when I was playing, if a person was accused of anything that was illegal, they were immediately suspended pending the investigation. Well, what has over time been realized is probably because there was a lot of people that after 6 to 12 months were found either innocent or not responsible for whatever they had been initially accused of, people realized, you know, we as an athletic department, we shouldn't be judge and jury, mm-hmm. and immediately suspend, you know. So what has happened is we leave all of that work up to the professionals. We leave that to the investigators. We let, whether it's the police or campus, you know, every school has their own sort of judicial process through student conduct. So again, depending on the severity of what we're talking about, usually most universities will say, hey, look, let's leave that to the experts, because if you were to suspend that person, again, this is all depending on the severity of what you're talking about, and they're found innocent, now you've taken, you know, a year of eligibility away from them. You've hurt, you know, reputationally, you've possibly damaged their reputation unnecessarily or unfairly. So it's, you know, it's complex because, you know, then there is potentially, and in this case, this awful tragedy that's occurred that you're also managing and dealing with. And it's not that you're, you know, people want to go, oh, you just, all you care about is winning a game. And that's not it. It's just that there's so many factors that weigh into it. You're trying to be, as best you can, sensitive and yet fair to all sides, and let, again, the professionals determine, you know, what's right and wrong. The people that understand the, you know, the law and the due process the way that, you know, that I don't. And again, I'm trying to hire good coaches that recruit good people and teach them how to make free throws. I'm not a person who I'm not a lawyer, you know, and I take my cues from other professionals within the university that we are able to consult and lean on for their professional advice on how to appropriately respond to things. And I feel very confident saying that that's what's happening in this situation with that young man. So I don't know, but I mean, that's what I would feel confident saying. But it's an awful situation, obviously, and I'm certain that they're very much on top of, you know, what to do and how to do it.
God forbid this happens anywhere else. But as an athletic as an athletic director, we're hearing that the university knew that Brandon was part of this, or that actually he acknowledged the fact that he was driving the car with the gun in the car 5 weeks ago. And that's one of the reasons that Greg Byrne was on this morning on ESPN. and they're getting grilled because they knew this information for weeks, but sat on it. What can you just talk about? And there may be a lot of different reasons why they sat on it, because they wanted more information. Maybe it was damage control. Can you talk about, as an athletic director, if something like this would happen again, God forbid, at UAB or anywhere else you worked, how you do deal inside philosophically with damage control for your university?
Well, you have, that's that. What you just said is number one. You know, no person is bigger than the university, and so you're trying to do what's going to protect the institution first. That's your number one priority, is to protect the university and the institution and the institutional reputation. That's number one. And you know, when you have any sort of investigation, it doesn't matter how severe the topic is, the allegations, no matter how severe, you don't make comments about an investigation. And you're told to not make comments about the investigation. So my assumption is, again, I don't know. My assumption,
and
it became a point, and I guess it was this morning, there became a point where somebody said it's okay to speak about it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation. It really is. And we've got so many people, you know, remember the old days of newspapers. I mean, it would take weeks and weeks and weeks before stuff gets out. And now the news cycle just turns so quickly and so many people are digging. It's really hard to hide anything. He's Mark Ingram, the athletic director. Find him at UAB_AD on Twitter. He'll be more than happy to converse with you there. And of course, we do the UAB director's chair every single week right here on Tony Curry Radio. Now the important stuff at hand. info@tonycurryradio.net, info@tonycurryradio.net. We have some email questions, and I'm so happy that people are throwing classic rock questions, probably because that's what we do here at Tony Curry Radio. Joshua in Southside says, Mark, what is your three albums? You're on a deserted island. What are those three albums you can only listen to for the rest of your life?
Van Halen, 1984.
Yep.
Killer Queen.
Yes.
And, boy. I might have a Barry White album in there.
I said you'd be just alone. I said you'd be alone, not with your wife.
Just to mix it up.
That's mixing it up, man. That's for sure. Ken in Midfield, info@tonycurryradio.net. What was Mark's wedding song? And did you play classic rock at your wedding party?
Played a lot of Motown.
Yeah.
A lot of what we used to call oldies, mm-hmm, stuff. Both my parents and my in-laws loved to dance, and they liked Motown music. And so there was a lot of Motown. There was some Prince. It was an upbeat event. Our wedding song was Louis Armstrong, Wonderful World.
Oh,
that
nice.
Is what Amy and I danced to at our wedding song.
That's a good one. That's
which she did not know about. So I this won't surprise you. This won't surprise you. I picked out the entire playlist that I gave to the DJ. There's a couple of rules.
That's great.
We walked through the door to Let My Love Open the Door by The Who.
Nice.
And then I had the playlist, and I said, you don't take requests, and there are no line dances.
that was probably your only job, was it, on your wedding night? That's the only thing your wife said, this is your job, not do a good job.
Yeah.
I love that. info@tonycurryradio.net. By the way, I played, I used to spin records. I did proms and stuff, and I did my brother and sister-in-law's wedding, and they're still married. Their wedding song, Thank You from Led Zeppelin. How about that, man? I was like, that is so spot on. It's so good. And finally, Janice and Abernet wants to know, what are your Mount Rushmore of rockers? If there's four faces up there, what are your four rockers of Mount Rushmore?
Well, if we're going to try to put a band together, let's talk about,
you don't have to put a band together. Just four faces of rock. I mean, the four best.
That's how I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
God bless Eddie Van Halen. Mm-hmm. I love Steve Vai at guitar, but Eddie to me is my favorite. So Eddie Van Halen's going to play lead guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have Billy Sheehan playing the bass.
Nice.
He was with Mr. Big and, mm-hmm. and some other great bands, played for David Lee Roth when he and Steve Vai actually played together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to have to go Neil Peart on the drums.
Yes.
All right. You feel good about that?
I love that. I love this band.
And then another late great. Now this is a little more obscure, but I'm probably going to go Kevin DuBrow, who's the late wow. singer for Quiet Riot.
Really?
I might put Kevin DuBrow on vocals.
How would you get that hair carved in rock? It's impossible.
On the bus. A lot of hair spray on that bus.
You could walk up. You could walk up his hair to the top of his to the top of his head.
You know, I would have picked Sebastian Bach on lead vocals, but I'd like to keep this band together.
Yeah, there you have it.
Put this band together. I'd like to keep them together.
There you go. This podcast will be out later this afternoon. If you hear it, come on down and check out Senior Night Rice taking on the UAB Blazers later on tonight. Hopefully, we can end the season with another win there down at Bartow Arena. Baseball season's underway. Football season right around the corner. And again, follow Mark at UAB_AD for the UAB Director's Chair. Mark, as always, thank you so much. We'll catch up next week.
Hey, man, I really appreciate it, Tony. Have a great day.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.